clergy the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise a simple. For to be desired are they than gold, hidden much fine gold. Sweeter also than
this is Go Ye International's podcast. Thank you for taking interest in this episode, in which I will continue the audio version. You may obtain a free copy of this to read on your own or even along with the podcast. Contact me through the email for this PDF version right away via email. Please continue to listen and learn with Go Ye International's podcast as I invite you to visit often and stay late. There is a different world for you to discover.
Won't you be designed other than gold, in a much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb.
A conscience of contentment. While reading the marvelous book of Hebrews, I found a verse I have read many more times than years I have been alive to be magnified in my understanding. So magnificent was its illumination in my conscience, I therefore convey the limited measure of my contentment as it was evident to me at that time. Using the Holy Scriptures for all to bear witness to the veracity of my conclusions, I offer three. First, a conscience of contentment is necessary to remain in the will of God, which is evident by the joy of the Lord being present in the life of those who are saved regardless of the circumstances. Second, without the direct intervention from the high priest of this new and living way to forgive such a lack of contentment, there will be no confidence to proceed in sanctification. Third, upon the failed realization of the second conclusion, the direction forward is no more promising than the one offered to those who find no place of repentance, though they seek it carefully with tears. Those conclusions arise from the salutation in the same book. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Hebrews 13:20. This working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight is herein explicated concerning a joyful conscience of contentment and the results of its absence.
Let me see this world.
First, a conscience of contentment is necessary to remain in the will of God, which is evident by the joy of the Lord being present in the life of those who are saved regardless of the circumstances. The illumination I previously mentioned occurred when my eyes became fixed on, ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Hebrews 10:34. What was it that caused those who were confident in this new and living way to joyfully respond to spoiling of their goods? A blessed affirmation towards that part of the verse is not what transpired in my conscience. Rather, a troubling aggravation with the thought of more loss possibly to come indicated to me the condition of my level of contentment, not to mention my commitment. My heart was in need of being sprinkled from an evil conscience, Hebrews 10:22. A condition stemming from a deficiency of patience to confidently move forward in the will of God, even though I was, and remain, uncertain of the particularities of that will. Considering that contentment is contrasted, Hebrews 13:5, to covetousness, which is idolatry, Colossians 3:5, the discipline of God's word brought to bear once more another rebuke from what I hoped was His benevolent method of chastising for our profit that we might be partakers of His holiness, Hebrews 12:10. As it related to my plans, and silence from above was only momentarily abated. Confidence in sonship had reached an abysmal low, yet it appealed to me in that, "Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons." Hebrews 12, 6-7. Much more was stirring in my ruminations over, "Took joyfully the spoiling," to Hebrews 10:34. God's love, as indicated in John 3:16 and 1 John 4:10, was not in doubt. Yet, my love for God was and is determined by obeying His commandments. John 14:15 and verse 23, chapter 15, verse 10. In my 2 decades of reading the Word of God, I am still surprised, actually shocked, at the degrees of any one sin, covetousness not being the least. Lord Jesus warned against it, Luke 12:15. Apostle Paul said he could do all things, as in avoiding covetousness with joy, through Christ which strengthened him, Philippians 4:3. However, he was not referring to taking an academic examination for comprehensive knowledge in a particular subject, nor was he providing self-help tips to those who are climbing a corporate ladder of worldly achievement. He was talking about abounding and being abased. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Philippians 4:11 through 12. Through Christ Jesus, one can joyfully encounter either, just as the Hebrews did, whom Paul was commending in the book by the same name, chapter 10, verse 34. In support of a necessary conscience of contentment being confirmation of those partaking of God's holiness, a very familiar proverb also came to mind during the entrance of this illuminating revelation. 2 things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies, give me neither poverty nor riches, feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee, and say, Who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal, and take the name of my God in vain. Proverbs 30:7-9. Those are interesting words and worthy of consideration, yet the writer reveals his reliance upon his own inclinations and sense of strength, even though the Spirit of God gave the Scripture to us. Remember, in Christ we can safely and certainly, with joy, experience poverty or plenty. Recall Paul's list in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 or Hebrews chapter 11. As with riches in 1 Timothy 6, 9, and 10, there is also danger in rags if godly contentment with joy is not the state of consciousness experienced and expressed. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 and 8. Pertaining to conscience, a conscience of contentment, evidence of godliness, is neither optional nor a matter of disagreement. Contentment in whatsoever circumstance one encounters is the only way to exhibit genuine joy through all conditions, including loss. For the Lord's sake, if not for Christ alone, in certain circumstances we may find that we are on our own. Therefore, one rhetorical question remains. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Hebrews 9:14. Surely, that is sufficient to inspire a joyful conscience of contentment and to sprinkle any evil conscience due to the dead work of covetousness. In summary of the first conclusion, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Hebrews 13:5-6. All that illuminated understanding has only built upon the tremendous trust I have in my helper, yet I am still in need of an abundance of affection for this marvelous truth, so that I too, if ever it occurs, may respond joyfully to the spoiling of my goods for following the great shepherd of the sheep. Hebrews 13:20. Whether abased or abounding, only joyful contentment is acceptable, something that I was lacking.
Dark the stain I cannot hide, stain of sin my guilt to prove, guilt my own and foolish pride, pride the reason for my sin. Light of God came shining down, Son of God my soul to win, laid aside his heavenly crown, paid the price for all my sin, paid the price for all my sin. Wash me in the Savior's blood, make me pure without within, cleanse my heart and set me free, free from guilt and free from sin.
Second, pertaining to absence of the direct intervention from the high priest of this new and living way to forgive such a lack of contentment, there will be no confidence to proceed in sanctification. Forgiveness of such transgression must be scripturally evident instead of sentimentally displayed. Hebrews 12:17. It is much easier for people to claim forgiveness for themselves or others than it is to establish the same in the Scriptures. Notice what even our Lord taught. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice, and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Matthew 5:11-12. Notice the rejoice and the be exceeding glad. The divine declaration set forth by Lord Jesus to rejoice and be glad at the loss of public reputation and the occurrence of physical discomfort is only possible through a conscience of contentment. Again, in Matthew 16:25-26, we read, For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? That is merely the challenge, but when the apostle, author, and finisher, Jesus Christ, of our faith, calls those to whom such verses resonate, remember there is the subject of forgiveness to be accurately accepted, abundantly affirmed, and affectionately appreciated. Forgiveness is only legitimately affirmed in the context of the couplet issued by Jesus Christ himself. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Mark 1:15. Read or listen to A Conscience of Lamentation, available at the Go Ye International website, goyeinternational.podomatic.com, for more on this subject. Also, consider repentance, without it all will perish, on the My Tongue is the Pen of a Ready Writer, free podcast with free book, Chapter 21 at mytongue.podomatic.com. These canonical subjects of repentance, belief, or faith, and forgiveness, I have found, are among the most misunderstood and distorted doctrines by and among Christians, and they are only surpassed in assaults by the doctrines of the divine triune Godhead and the divinity of the Son of God, both incredulously treated because of depraved human proclivity. Through the years, I continue to appraise my own status in the Lord, the friend of sinners, Matthew 11:19. I think it necessary to do so in light of St. John's instruction. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. 1 John 1:5-10. Furthermore, the process and pursuit of sanctification in a Christian's life is not a one-time event in the past. It is an ongoing journey of discovery, like things that improve with age. Knowing the status in which a person is walking, if in forgiveness, there is a difference between the positional sanctification, 1 Corinthians 1:30, John 17:17, that a person has in Christ Jesus, and the practical sanctification where to exhibit as implemented by Holy Spirit, 1 Thessalonians 4:3-4, 2 Thessalonians 2:13, and 1 Peter 1:2. Salvation is by no means a complicated thing, except when it comes to unscrambling the confusion brought on by humanism, materialism, and erroneous, though sincere, philosophy. Add to that the depraved condition from which one may be saved. Yet there is the transformative renewal, Romans 12:1-3, that must and will ensue for the remainder of life. Therein lies the problem. All things Jesus are easy, but our humanity is the problem. Consider some admonitions found throughout the Holy Scriptures. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. 1 Peter 1:17. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. 2 Peter 1:10. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians 2:12. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Christ Jesus is in you, except ye be reprobates? 2 Corinthians 13:5. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Galatians 2:17-18. I am by no means being exclusive. The association of forgiveness in the ongoing work of sanctification is a constant theme in discerning the will of God. This pursuit requires the intervention of the only perfect and premier priest, Jesus Christ, to correct, to console, and to clarify those seasons in a Christian's life that become clouded with temptations, trials, and tattered plans. Forgiveness, then, is necessarily required for this transformative truth about contentment to permeate the conscience of the child of God so that fruit is born to the glory of God's benevolent majesty. Regenerative renewal that repels covetousness will bring about the contentment that demonstrates true holiness and the confidence to wait for God. Keep in mind, you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your minds by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard. Colossians 1:21-23. When doubts arise, be not moved, is our command. Unfortunately, there are certain people who may not so confidently and trustingly encounter forgiveness in the righteousness of the Lamb of God in this matter, or any, and thereby remain in the absence of such contentment.
Thank you.
the failed realization of the second conclusion, the direction forward in God's will is no more promising than that offered to those who find no place of repentance, though they seek it carefully with tears. I surely do not communicate this with the same enthusiasm of the first two conclusions. Although truth, namely the Word of God, is not something that can be maintained by sentiment only, if at all, what saith the Scriptures should be our prevailing concern. Romans 4:3. Revelation 21:8 is not a humorous topic, since, in the Bible, the opposite of contentment is covetousness, which makes one an idolater. We read in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39, "But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition." There will be those who draw back, who gravitate to perdition. Another reading is, "Ye know how that afterward, when Esau would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." Hebrews chapter 12, verse 17. The astute student of Scripture will notice Esau was called a fornicator. Hebrews 12, verse 16. His metaphorical fornication, pictured in despising his birthright, is described in Genesis chapter 25 through 26. Those related passages have candidly troubled me through the years, as much about me as others. I wonder if I am like Esau, despising that which is mine in Christ Jesus. Be sure, those who frivolously treat the subject of assurance may already be in the condition that excludes them from finding authentic repentance and confident belief. It has happened unto them according to the true proverb, "The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. Unlike some circuitous attempt to prove a point, there are several warnings in Scripture for those who lessen the value of the birthright into God's kingdom. Commands in both Old and New Testament abound regarding covetousness. Moreover, contentment is what the God of holiness calls us to exhibit. 1 Timothy 6:6, Hebrews 13:5. "This third conclusion is delivered in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." 2 Timothy chapter 2, 25 and 26. The Lord said, "Learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Matthew 9:13. There is mercy for the darkness inherent in a lack of contentment. This, "having food and raiment, let us therewith be content," 1 Timothy 6:8, is no trivial subject in God's Word. "For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God and of Christ." Ephesians 5:5. The high priest of this new and living way gave a sobering lesson on contentment instead of being covetous, as recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke. The passage begins with, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." Luke 12:15. With intrigue, it brings to light additional aspects of covetousness normally not thought to be the case. It is about a person with plenty, not one who wants what others have. Moreover, it was not about a person who was coveting the neighbor's house, spouse, or lifestyle. Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. The individual in Jesus' lesson was no different from the typical hard-working, purposefully frugal, self-made success story that many people aspire to be. This is troubling. So much so, Jesus ends the parable with the character being called a fool, Luke 12:20, by God who summoned his soul in death. Remember, no covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God, Ephesians 5:5. Is it any wonder that Jesus responded the way that he did to the well-to-do individual who approached him concerning eternal life, Matthew 19:16-19, Mark 10:17-19, Luke 18:18-20? A vigilant disciple of Jesus will learn something special about God's Word. The commands given under Moses, Exodus 20 and repeated in Deuteronomy 5, lay the foundation for what the Lamb of God accentuates during his ministry. There are two categories pertaining to the traditional Ten Commandments, 4 vertical in relationship to God, and 6 horizontal, in relationship with other people. In Matthew 19, verses 16 through 19, we find the sixth mentioned. However, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself is in place of the tenth commandment prohibiting coveting. This is very interesting. Also, Luke 18:18 through 20 contains only five out of the six horizontal commandments before the fellow jumps in with his response. Therefore, the reply that Jesus gave him in Luke's 18:22 through 27 is in perfect harmony with the seemingly missing covetousness commandment. Wow! Jesus, the righteous rabbi, knew more than the letter of the law. He knew spiritual degrees of meaning therein, saying, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Matthew 5:17. The gospel ministry of Jesus Christ calling people to repentance and belief in his gospel enlightened the former act of adultery to include looking with lust. He elucidated the act of murder with the warning of dangerous anger, along with many other unambiguous elevations of God's law. Of course, he did not abscond from the tenth commandment either, though the self-proclaimed pious protectors of God's law were plotting his death with various attempts prior to his crucifixion and subsequent resurrection. By Jesus, covetousness was uncovered from centuries of superfluities and flawed speculations. From the former exclusively eternal realm to the current interior of human consciousness, Jesus, the all-wise and wonderful Savior, explained covetousness, the opposite of contentment, to be the result of not loving your neighbor as yourself, Matthew 19:19, and that being such a covetous person results in defrauding your neighbor, Mark 10:19. That was directly referencing the obligatory directive in God's law for the poor and stranger, Leviticus 19, verses 9 through 10, which the discontent individual in the Lord's parable, Luke 12, was violating through defrauding the poor and stranger from what God had appointed for them, consequently loving his neighbor less than himself. This explicated content from the teachings of Jesus Christ exceeds the contemporaneous array of heresies and falsehoods abounding in Christian circles for soothing a person's sinfulness, leaving them devoid of atonement, of repentance, and of sanctification. No wonder it was said of Jesus, they were astonished at his doctrine. Mark 1 verse 22.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior.
I look to God's mercy and grace in revamping myself with a consciousness of contentment. It is my hope that there will be those who encounter the mercy of God found in Jesus Christ and wholeheartedly advance in the Holy Spirit-guided sanctification from such covetous discontentment. However, I am attentive to the rest of the story, for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will harden. Romans 9, verse 15 and 18. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. While it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 8 and 15. In the words of Jesus, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. John 6, verse 65. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Even the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Revelation 22, verse 17. A plea for a conscience of contentment using three conclusions has been made. Those conclusions being, such a state of mind is necessary to joyfully encounter the will of God from day to day, no matter the surrounding circumstances. Without forgiveness for such transgression against God and our neighbor, there will be no confidence to continue in the realm of sanctification. The result of avoiding proper forgiveness has no promise now or in the future. Jesus Christ, the quintessence of contentment, is more than an attractive solution for the worst of sin. The impact of such thought to be little, not so bad flaws in one's character should be seen as condemned throughout the supreme continuity of the good book, with the teachings of Lord Jesus, and hopefully in the conscience of all who encounter this material. May you be able to comprehend with all saints the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Ephesians 3:18-19. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Isaiah 55:6. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, through all ages, world without end. Amen. Ephesians 3:20-21. As it has been for me, may a conscience of contentment be yours for the asking. Praise the Lord.
Sacrifice.
Worship God.
And offering. Thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened, burnt offering, sin offering hast thou not required. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation.
He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.
The servant drinketh of the water that I shall give. I'll never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up.
This concludes this episode of the Go Ye International broadcast. Thank you for listening, downloading, and or reading along. You may contact us through the contact information available on the Go Ye International's podcast page via the email, the websites of goyeinternational.mysite.com, and there you get further information by which you can write and or use other email and call. Also, Go Ye International would like any kind of comments and feedback that you are willing to offer through the various means available on this website and otherwise, please. Make contact as I invite you to visit often and stay late. There is a different world for you to discover.
Won't you be designed?